and welcome to the first Chain Restaurant Total Rewards Association, or CERTRA for short, podcast. CERTRA is excited to be starting this new podcast series on employee total rewards, compensation, benefits, and restaurant industry relevant topics. For those who don't know CERTRA, we are a nonprofit organization dedicated to strengthening and enhancing total rewards within the restaurant industry. Total rewards encompasses employee compensation, benefits, paid time off like vacation, sick, and holiday time, and of course, work-life balance pieces like flex time, telecommuting, etc. CERTRA's goal is to educate and train representatives of our member companies, provide networking opportunities within the industry, and broaden the total rewards information available to restaurant industry professionals. CERTRA was established in 1976, so we've been at this a while. And we consist of close to 100 chain restaurant member companies with even more covered concepts. So to find out more about CERTRA or a membership, check us out at CERTRAweb.org. My name is Stephanie Foran, and I'm the current CERTRA president. I've served on the board for the last 4.5 years as communications director, vice president, and this year as president. One of our key initiatives for CERTRA is our compensation and benefits surveys that our members participate in. Our survey partner is Aon. So our inaugural guest on the podcast to help give some insights into our partnership is Cheryl Kaiser. Cheryl is a senior associate survey consultant with Aon's Reward Solutions practice. She manages several large annual initiatives. She currently manages the CERTRA Total Compensation Surveys portfolio and maintains the overall relationship with all CERTRA members. Cheryl is also part of the retail initiative at Aon as well. She's a big part of the success of our survey, and she's a very important partner in our CERTRA relationship. We are excited to have her join us today and tell us a little bit more about that partnership. So welcome, Cheryl.
Thanks, Stephanie. Glad to be here today.
So we're going to get started just talking about that relationship between CERTRA and Aon. So how did our partnership start, and how long have we been at this?
Certainly. So Aon and CERTRA started partnering back in 2013, was our first year of actually doing the survey together. So the partnership is not limited just to the compensation and benefits surveys. Aon also provides thought leadership and industry-leading insights for the membership through publishing content, delivering insightful presentations at conferences and meetings. Keep an eye out for us at franchisee meetings, conference, obviously the CERTRA conference, regional connects, and the new thing for 2020 is CERTRA and Aon will be presenting together at the Restaurant Leadership Conference in Arizona come up in March.
Yeah, that's very exciting. We're really looking forward to that. That will be our first time to do that, so we're really excited to be a part of that. You know, for CERTRA, the board members, we always want to make sure that we're working with the best partners. So the board did go through the RFP process for survey providers. I think that was 2017, 2018. And we were really happy to be able to continue our partnership with Aon after reviewing all of our options. So we are happy to be continuing that partnership. So, Cheryl, how does the compensation survey work? So, you know, things like how many surveys do we do? How is that data collected, reviewed, processed? And what requirements are there? Because I know there are some as well. Is there anything that Aon might collect that we may not end up seeing on the reporting?
Well, Stephanie, that's quite the question. Where to start? So we have four main surveys in CERTRA. The first one and the biggest one is kind of like our flagship survey is the CERTRA Executive and Management Survey. This survey focuses on positions that are typically paid differently because they're within the restaurant industry. Positions in the survey range from the Assistant General Manager or AGM up to the CEO. The survey participation for this survey is a part of the membership commitment with CERTRA as a member. Participation opens up at the end of January, 1st of February of every year. FYI, y'all got your emails today. So send in your participation soon. I always have to do my plugs. So the participation requirement for this survey for members is to submit data that is at least on 25% of the survey jobs that are offered through the survey, as well as data on key roles of top executives and the key operational roles like your GMs, AGMs, multi-unit managers, etc. Our next biggest survey within CERTRA is our hourly non-management survey. This survey is focused on your restaurant level positions from your dishwashers to your shift supervisors. This survey is conducted twice a year. It opens up for participation in January and July, and results are released in April and October. This database provides insights on pay based on concept types, region, state, MSA, and even three-digit zip. This particular survey typically captures 1 to 1.2 million incumbents. We've been over, but on average, that's where we are landing on that survey, which is a great wealth of information considering there's 23 jobs.
Yeah.
Unlike the first two surveys where CERTRA owns the survey and Aon administers it, the next two surveys are conducted by Aon, but Aon provides a special offering to the members. So the CERTRA Benefits Survey is provided through our Benefits Spec Select online tool. CERTRA participants will receive free access to the benefit plan prevalence information for all of CERTRA participants and our full database of over 1,000 employers. The first release of that data is in the end of February, and new organizations are added to this database throughout the year. Typically, we expect around 100 CERTRA organizations to participate in this database, providing their benefit information for corporate employees, and restaurant crew. In addition to the free benefit prevalence data, CERTRA participants have the option to purchase other benefit products as well. We have custom designed a full suite for just CERTRA needs at a CERTRA budget too, just saying. Lastly, every June, Aon participates, opens up for participation, the salary increase survey. This survey focuses on insights on survey planning. It's a look back at the actuals for the year and the projections for the year to come. As a CERTRA member and participant, you not only receive the overall results to the survey, which is not just restaurant industry or hospitality, it is every industry, and you can slice and dice it accordingly, but you also get a CERTRA special analysis that will compare CERTRA specifically to general industry as well as retail. So it's a great opportunity for our members to get some great information for a very, very low cost of just your time.
That's always a great survey. We look at it every year.
The only key on that one is make sure you get your valid submission in by the deadline. Otherwise, it does have a cost to it. So free is always better.
Yeah, important point.
So really fast, I would like to touch base on a few items that are common questions when it comes to participation around Aon's compensation surveys. So company concept revenues, and I know every time I say those words, every private company cringes, right? Never fear. It is something that we protect very, very heavily here at Aon within the CERTRA relationship. So that one, as well as the number of units, though we never report out directly this information, it is super, super critical to the survey and to its results. Aon takes this information, puts it into data pools that allow our members to pull the data based on revenue, territory revenue, or unit volume. At no point can any other member see any individual company's revenue or data. Likewise, they would not be able to see what companies would fall under a particular scope. So never fear. No one's going to have any idea. It is 100% secure. There is less than 5 people that actually can see the raw data. It's kept very, very confidential.
Yeah, that's great.
There are other items that Aon captures in the auditing process to assist us. One example is unique incumbent ID. This allows Aon to capture and compare incumbent salary against the previous year so that we can audit and validate data pay. This, in conjunction with other data, provides Aon the ability to validate substantial changes in pay by seeing the last year's details on an incumbent and seeing how they've received a promotion, a change in roles. Maybe we can see that their zip code has changed. This all goes into consideration when we're looking at the pay and if we should flag something or question something back to a client. So these all items all help us validate the data. And by using these methods, it less time is spent going back and asking the client's questions. So instead of getting 5 pages of questions back from us, you'll hopefully only get one. And obviously, if you do get a follow-up questionnaire, always more than happy to get on a phone call and walk through it, because sometimes it's just easier done in a conversation than sitting there trying to go through these spreadsheets.
And you guys do work very closely with our searcher members if there is a question or an issue. I know I've received a call from you before.
Me, never. I love reaching out to the clients. And honestly, Stephanie, it's not just beneficial for the survey, but it's also beneficial for the membership, because as we communicate and talk and understand the data together, we ensure that the data that we're putting into the survey and ultimately publishing is the most accurate, up-to-date data possible. The other thing that I do want to mention, that 99% of the elements that we capture within the participation materials do get reported out. The other 1% is truly for the purposes of things like auditing. We do not try to waste anyone's time on asking information that really doesn't matter. It typically goes into something or another. And if there's ever a question or concern, always feel free to reach out to Aon. To dig a little bit more into the auditing piece, so Aon's auditing process is quite extensive. Over 40 hours on average is spent auditing each company's file.
Wow.
Every submission is not only audited for, you know, your basic elements and your pay and year over year, but we compare the incumbent, the practice, the company, concept data to the previous year. And sometimes we go 2 and 3 years back to see how something flows, just to validate if it makes sense. Or we look at, you know, okay, we asked this question last year, the client validated it, so I don't need to ask them that this year. So there's a lot that goes into it. For public companies, we compare their submissions to the most recent SEC filings.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't have the ability to do that with private.
Yeah.
But again, where we can, we definitely validate across. And in fact, if they are a participant in our Aon Total Compensation Measurement Survey, I actually validate the data against our own submissions within Aon. We also compare responses to practice questions to validate and audit the incumbent data, including incentives. So if you answer a practice question that you have incentive pay, but you don't have it listed within the incumbent tab, then we know to kind of look at something, go, oh, time out. Or say you in the hourly survey this year, you answered the practice question of, do you have a formal pay ranges? And you answer no. Well, now I don't have to go back and ask you if you just didn't provide the data or if you don't have those ranges. So now I know not to ask you the question on the incumbent piece. Yeah. So it really does help us work together to ask the client less questions, but also to validate data. After we complete the auditing of submissions on a company-by-company data basis, we pull all the data together into what we call a batch review. So this is another line-by-line look at the data, but in a different way. So we can now look at the matching, leveling, the flow of the data for each incumbent for all the companies, ensuring consistency and accuracy. This review takes another 30 to 40 hours, depending on if it's the hourly or executive and management. Lastly, we port the data into our tool. At that point, we start running a series of reports. That's when we're really looking at the different scope cuts. Okay, does this region consistent with last year? You know, what's the regional pay compared to the national data? Those types of things. Typically, we spend about 8 to 10 hours on those last checks of making sure the, you know, individual scope cuts look consistent and nothing looks wonky. Now, heaven forbid, and it happens, you know, eventually every once in a while, that something does look wonky. We go back and we take a step back and we ensure accuracy. We look at the overall, you know, results and validations, and we look at the reasoning. So if it's a mistake, obviously we have to go back and fix it. If it's not a mistake, then we need to understand why the data is showing what it is. So when we get those phone calls from members, we can help provide those insights and explanations. Or maybe it's something that we need to, you know, bring to write a white paper on, or, you know, do a presentation on in a conference because, wow, we're really seeing a change. So those are some of the things that really go into the auditing process. And overall, it takes about 3 months to complete start to finish all 100 submissions.
Yeah, it is a huge undertaking and such a big process that you guys go through. I know it's a relief for us to hear about all the checks and balances that go through that process, because this is a very important product that Sortra is providing and selling to our members. So thank you so much for going through the detail of that. I think that's extremely helpful. So Sortra is obviously always looking at ways to make the survey better. And, you know, every year we kind of regroup and say, what can we do to make improvements? So there's a lot of planning that goes on. How long does that survey planning process take, and what's involved with that?
Great question. And I will give top kudos to the subcommittees and the director of surveys, as well as the executive searcher board, because we do spend a lot of time together. So historically, we used to start the process closer to the end of the year. Then we've started to change the process to where we're starting it more in the May and June timeframe. And the reason why we're looking at this change is because by the time you get to November, you know, everyone's sitting there going, I know I had some ideas for additional jobs, but I can't remember what they are. our world is so busy. You give it too long and then we just forget, right? And then by what time we remember, it's, you know, now we're into the next year and it's too late. So though we always encourage, you know, members to send us an email when they think of it, we ultimately decided to change the process to start incorporating that feedback earlier so that we can make an impact and really incorporate those changes into the next survey cycle instead of having to potentially wait two survey cycles. So we gather the feedback, and then in late September, we start the formal planning process, meeting monthly to determine what the changes are that the membership would like to see. What we recommend, and by we, I mean the subcommittee, Aon and the survey director, we recommend to the board of these are the changes we'd like to see. These are the details. Here's Aon's recommendations. What does the board feel? Is there pushback? Is there additional changes that you want to see? You know, let's meet together and work together. So once we go through this process, we typically will meet at the fall board meeting in person with Aon, and we will start drafting the materials based on those approvals and that those discussions at that meeting.
And so those final decisions, how are they made, those changes?
So ultimately, it is the final decision is on the searcher board with Aon's recommendations. Once that's approved, it is Aon's responsibility to try to make magic happen between September and December.
And how would you say that the survey data has evolved over time?
Great question. So it kind of does these cycles of, you know, where you kind of see things go back to the way they were. but not 100%. So, for example, we listen to what's going on in the market, and we listen to the members, and, you know, catering's a great example of evolution of Sirtra, right? We never had a whole lot of members. It was always a small segment that had catering businesses, right? Now that's a hot topic, and, you know, where restaurants are looking for additional revenue streams. So this year, we have a hot topics on catering. We've also revisited the job descriptions for those catering roles as well. Another example is, so here a few years back, and I'm sure there's no one on this call that will ever forget FLSA and minimum wage changes a couple of years ago. It was causing so much noise for the whole entire industry, as well as retail. And so what we decided to do as a board and Aon is we decided to move the hourly survey to a quarterly survey, because annual was just not enough to get those updates and stay on top of them. So we moved it to quarterly. That lasted about 2 years before things kind of leveled out with FLSA and minimum wage changes to where it's more on an annual cycle. But you still have, with the annual cycle for it, you have two different really major dates that the majority of minimum wage changes hit. January 1st and July 1st are the two biggest dates. So when we decided to pull off of the quarterly, we decided to go to semi-annual, reflecting the January 1st and July 1st to capture all the minimum wage changes and allow the membership to ultimately have data that is never older than 6 months old.
Yeah, I remember that being a big decision when we decided that we were going to move to quarterly. And, you know, that really was from the feedback of our membership. You know, we were all trying to figure out what we were going to do in those scenarios. So being able to have that flexibility to make those kind of changes with Aon, I mean, you guys had to now go from doing one to four back to two. I mean, so it's had some impact on you guys as well. So, you know, but we really appreciate that we had that opportunity to kind of, well, I say spin on a dime, so to speak, in some of those scenarios.
Well, if you recall, that was a crazy, crazy year because we also did the non-traditional that year and turnover quarterly. So right. That was a whirlwind of a year for us.
So I was going to mention also, you know, it's not really managed by Aon, but we do have a SurveyMonkey account that we allow our membership to survey each other with. There is one caveat to that. Of course, they can't talk compensation information. So it's very important that they don't do that. But it is really nice that if you did have a quick question related to, you know, what your member, your peers are doing as best practice, that you can send them out a quick little SurveyMonkey and get some pretty good data back pretty quickly. So
you're absolutely right, Stephanie. And the one thing that I would always say is, obviously, we all know stay away from compensation data, but if there's ever any hesitation or doubt, always look to your general counsel to get their blessing and their advice on if it's appropriate or you should, you know, rephrase the question in a different way.
It's a great point. That's a really good point. So speaking of changes, what's new for the 2020 survey?
Well, it's been a crazy, crazy year. So I want to, first of all, thank so much. So Jason from Focus Brands is our survey director this year and has put in a substantial amount of time working with me to really take our feedback and work with the subcommittee and review what the survey has, what the members want, and ultimately we're looking at some significant changes this year. So from an hourly non-management survey standpoint, we really wanted to better align it with the hourly practices that were originally in the executive management survey. So what we did is we moved the hourly specific practices from the executive and management, put it in the hourly phase one. Results will go out in phase one as well. So that's the first change, but never the only change. So the other changes within the hour. And this is a pretty big change as well. So historically in the hourly survey, we really focused on formal pay ranges. Now, and you can't see it, but I'm doing my little parentheses in the air. not a lot of companies have formal pay ranges in the hourly space anymore. And if they do, let's be honest, tend to be out of date.
Right.
A lot of them under minimum wage at this point, right? So we kind of looked at that and we wanted to make a change. So what we did is we looked at, instead of going the min, min, and max, we're looking at what is your hourly starting wage for that position in that region, okay?
Yeah.
And then we go, median, always a great number to have. But the other side of the coin is, what is your top pay for that job? So let's really look at, okay, it may not be quite as formal.
Right.
But what is those? What are those informal ranges as well? So we made that change to really try to better understand and align the ranges with the data that we've been receiving. Because what we saw in the past is that you may look at something and it's, you know, $13.65 median pay. But according to the range, I'm between $19 and $26 an hour. It's like, what?
Right.
There's no correlation whatsoever. And unfortunately, there's very little correlation between participants in the two of them as well. So that was a huge change that we wanted to try to make the data usable for our members. The last change to the hourly survey is we combined a couple positions. So maintenance worker 1 and 2, we combined together. So we've been challenged for several years now to be able to report data out on both of the levels.
Right.
So what we decided to do is combine them together so that we can get more data and we are able to provide more scope cuts. So ultimately, you'll be able to get to the same data points. But here's the difference. You'll actually be able to get to both of them now. So likewise, we did that for bartender tipped and non-tipped. Again, non-tipped bartender typically hasn't been reported because most bartenders are tipped,
right,
of some sort. So we went away with that, much like we've historically had just server. Server doesn't have a tipped and non-tipped. So it's the same methodology, just new for 2020.
Right. We do see more of that, though, restaurants deciding not to go the tipped route. So I'll be interested to see how that works out.
And you're right. And it'll be something that we can always do analysis on the backside and insights on based on what we're seeing in the data.
Yeah.
Though that brings up an interesting point, Stephanie. So in this whole process of starting wage, one of our members had went through it and they thought, I pay minimum wage. Guess what? After doing this exercise, they realized they don't really pay minimum wage.
Ah. Huh.
They're like, I'm flabbergasted, Cheryl. I really thought I paid minimum wage, but they don't really. So they're finding that in reality, there's a X percentage or dollar amount above mm-hmm. minimum wage that they're typically paying.
Right. The right wage, right?
Right. Exactly. So they never really put two and two together because they never pulled the data that way. So it's led into some really interesting conversations and insights, even on an individual company basis. So I look forward to 2020 and really digging into those data pieces.
Yeah. What about the executive management survey?
So executive and management survey, let me tell you this, membership has spoken and Searcher has listened. So for several years now, it's been the kind of hot debate of what do we do with executive practices? So starting in 2020, Searcher is going to an every other year cycle for practices. Pause for celebration.
Right. I did.
On the even years, Searcher will be doing a shorter hot topic section in the survey instead of the full traditional practices. This year's hot topic will be around catering. When we report the results in 2020, since variable pay plan design typically does not change very much year over year, we will include the 2019 results so that the members still have access to great data without having to really chase for it and find it. Mm-hmm. Because we all have a problem like, where did I put that file from last year? Oh, nuts. So we're going to make sure that it's convenient and in the same place so that everyone can still get great results for that. And then have the addition of the insights from a catering standpoint. On the other years, so in 2020 and the odd years going forward, we will back off of the full traditional practices, ensuring that every other year we'll evaluate them for relevance and adjust as needed as well. So though we say that, you know, 2021, we're back to the full thing, just keep in mind, we're still going to continue to reevaluate it every year and make sure that we're relevant and we're asking the right questions and we're not asking anything that is really, you know, wasteful of the membership's time.
They're amazing changes. I'm really excited that we're putting them in place. And you and Jason have done a fantastic job on that catering piece for this year. So really excited to see how that's going to roll out.
Well, great. But I'm not done yet, Stephanie. Another really big change that happened this year is, so it's been a challenge for the AGM position for several years now, and we've been watching it really closely on the leveling with it and who submits to what and how did they submit to it, and ultimately, you know, what reports into the restaurant manager one versus the restaurant manager two or AGM role. So it's caused a lot of disparity and noise in the data over the years. So this year we've decided to pull those two positions together into one. So it will now only be the restaurant manager AGM. We will do all new trending so everyone can get a fresh look at how it consistently pays versus trying to go, okay, well, last year I had it as this one and this year it's that one, and not looking apples to apples. So we'll provide those apples to apples looks for everyone, but know that now it's going to be simple and in one job so that we can track revenue, responsibility cuts, geographic cuts. There'll be so many different cuts that we can really dig into at a deeper level, because now you're going to pull two jobs together and have a whole lot more data, because we all know we all have a lot of restaurant managers, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the last change for 2020 for executive and management.
Perfect. So. That's a lot. We have really looked at a lot of new and innovative ways to take the survey. So I'm very, very excited. Again, you and Jason have done a fantastic job on getting these up and going. And Cheryl, like I said before, you know, you and ARN are such an important part of our search of our partnership, and I truly can't thank you enough for all you do for us, and to you and to ARN for all of your support to help us grow our searcher exposure, like being at the RLC coming up this year at conference, and then through that partnership. So thank you again.
No problem. And I really appreciate, Stephanie. It's been, I personally been with Searcher now for almost 6 years, and it has been just a wonderful experience. And we're really growing together, and we'll continue to grow. And 2020 is going to be an amazing year.
I can't wait to see the results. So if you are a first time listening to the podcast, because of course this is our first show, if you have any suggestions for us, please feel free to email us at office@searcherweb.org. That's office@searcherweb.org. We'd love to hear your suggestions. We certainly hope that you will tune in to the next time we do this, and please subscribe. We're still working through what services we'll be on, but hopefully it'll be somewhere that you can find us pretty easily. And of course, leave your comments and feedback there if possible. And remember that today was about progress, not perfection. So please forgive us for any technical challenges. And thanks so much for listening.